Ladies and gentlemen, Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans. Stephen Van Patten here, joined by Mr. Kirk Johnson and the very appropriately dressed Denise Tapscott, ladies and gentlemen. And for those of you that don't know, so we lost a giant.
Yeah.
Nichelle Nichols, age 89. Yeah. Had to be talked into keeping the role of Lieutenant Uhura by none other than Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Martin Luther King, yes. Yeah. And Roddenberry. Yeah, you're both right. Amazing.
But hell of a life, hell of a career, hell of a source of representation. She shall be missed.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, we also lost NBA legend, 11-time champ, Bill Russell, also known for his activism as well as his scoring ability.
Yeah.
We lost Mary Alice of Matrix Oracle fame, also known for her roles in A Different World, and even had Fences. A Tony for Fences.
Yeah.
Fences. Mm-hmm. And Tony for Fences.
Man.
And of course, we also lost a close friend to the Black horror writer community.
Mm-hmm.
Valjean.
Valjean. Jeffries, known mostly for her Immortal series, but also other works for both fiction and nonfiction.
Poetry also. Didn't she do poetry as well?
I believe so. But yes, she will also be missed. I would imagine there will probably be some sort of tribute at Multiverse when we are all down there in October.
Oh, yeah.
I
remember her from, she was one of the, submitted one of a beautiful story in Griot's Sword and Soul Anthology.
Mm-hmm.
For Sword and Soul Anthology, she was in there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was no joke. Yeah. And a lovely lady.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And she will also be missed. May all of you rest in peace.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I would like to say that we're going to try to be cheerful from here on. So we'll give that a shot, I guess. So Nope is in theaters. I actually have not had a chance to see it yet. But
oh my stars. Get out there and see it. You got to see it. I won't give any spoilers because I'm that person. But I liked it so much that I really want to see it again.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. It's it's definitely, it's horror. There's parts that are very disturbing. Okay. Some stuff you see coming, some you don't see at all.
Nice.
Yeah, it's some stuff you don't expect. And then when you find out the way it's going, you're like, are you kidding me right now? Mm-hmm. I know I'm being very vague and I apologize. Because I don't want to spoil it. But it's, man. And all the characters, all the actors do a great job. Because one of the main things to me in horror is for people to feel really uncomfortable. Like, you're never really going to feel safe. And the characters, they get under your skin. You're like, you want to like them, but you want to hate them. Mm. But in the end, you do like them.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, good. It's so good. So good. And the way they show California, it's true. We need water so bad.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They're out in the desert. It's like, yeah, that's my backyard, practically.
So, Lieutenant Tapscott.
Yes.
Of the three, Us, Get Out, and Nope.
Well,
what's your feeling? They're all very different. I imagine.
They're all very different, but Get Out is still going to be like the highest mark.
Okay.
Mm, but then I would say Nope right below it. Because when you find out what's going on, you don't have questions like you did with
For Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is very clear what's going on.
You had questions for Us? I'm kidding. I totally had questions.
You're so silly.
I was actually scratching my head all the way home. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Go see it. Nope. Pay some money. Go see Nope. Oh, man. Nope. Definitely.
And you know what's funny is, with what little press that the actors did, like they were apparently on some ironclad, can't tell you jack type thing. And then there was like, because I was working at Tamron Hall, and there was a clip they were going to show. And then all of a sudden Legal was like, nope. So they couldn't even do that. And it's just like, wow, they are really on some ultra. We're not.
I think they have to. They have to. Because when you see it, and then you can be like,
okay.
They can't show you much. They can't. But whatever you've seen, that's all you get to see.
It's like a classic Alfred Hitchcock type shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what's going on, but I want to see it.
I want to see it. There was like, nope. And there's a, go see it so that we can talk about it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Because I'm not going to spoil it, but highly recommended for sure. Yeah.
Nice. All
right. All
very good. Very good.
I heard they broke the box office for the weekend too, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weekend box office.
I believe I did hear that.
I hope so. Yeah.
Nope.
Good old Jordan Peele.
Say yes to Nope.
And if somebody else hasn't already thought about that, then you people owe Kirk a check for coming up with your marketing campaign.
Yeah, right.
Single-handed. Off the dome.
Off the dome.
Literally, off the dome.
Right. Yeah.
Here's a question I kind of want to feel like I should throw out again, just to kind of keep the mood light. Uh-oh. What's everybody writing these days? Really?
Well, I'm still working on my second novel.
If you saw the video, the look of on our face is like literally like a gazelle caught in the headlights. There, that was totally like.
I was like, oh.
I'm driving through the Serengeti at night, and my lights just hit on a gazelle. The gazelle's like, oh, motherfucker, what?
Nigga,
what you doing here?
I feel like a broken record because I've been saying this for like 3 million years. I'm working on the second novel. The second one's done. The third one's done. I just have to go back and fix stuff and things and fix some plot holes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think because I've been stressing about an editor, which I don't need to do. I don't know why I'm stressing out about an editor. I just need to finish it. Right, sooner it's done, sooner I can get it out and get the beta readers reading and get the input going.
I have a question for you. So is it unconscious stress for the editor, or is it conscious? And is it does it feel like something in the back of your mind? Like you're like, I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm getting it done. But in the back of your mind is that little, like a fucking gremlin going there, like kind of like, man, the editor's going to tear that shit up. Oh man, there's gonna be so many red marks. That shit's gonna be a cover.
You know, for me, that part doesn't bother me so much. Because I know that I'm not strong with my grammar is okay. It's decent, but I'm always happy to get input for structural things and content things. I'm more like, how much is this gonna cost me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one person quoted me at like $7,000 to $10,000 just to edit it. It's like, am I gonna make that back?
A single book?
Is this
Stephen King's editor?
It's not my editor. It's a big old no. Yeah, I think, I understand that people have bills and everybody's got to get paid, but come on, man.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like, I know how, everything's more expensive now because everybody's trying to make the money back from COVID time and this and that.
But, living,
it's the market.
Right. But while not disrespecting any editor out there or their job or their work ethic or anything else like that, y'all probably been working right through the pandemic.
Right.
Because what did writers do during the pandemic except create more shit for you to edit?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you don't necessarily get to do that whole, because a good editor is backed up right now.
Yeah,
and I mean, I don't,
I would assume so, though.
You know what I mean? So the money's coming in for you. You just have to, you know.
Not the highway robbery.
Stop acting like it's the market.
Right.
Because I got to pay rent still.
Thank you. That part. Got to pay rent. I got to eat, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We are all collectively a little too old for that, like, ramen noodle nonsense.
Man.
So, like, I need real food.
I do need real food and my red wine. I said it.
And there you go.
She said what she said.
That's right. Ain't mad at that.
Lieutenant Tapscott. What you working on?
Who, me?
Yeah, DJ Bloodlust.
Well, among other things, our old friend Jamal Hodge reached out for a story. I think he reached out to Kirk as well.
Right. I think he's trying to keep this on wraps. Are we able to talk about it? I don't think you want to talk about it, sir, right?
Well, okay. Well,
stuff and things.
Stuff and things, right. We don't have to tell anybody what it's about, but yeah.
Right. Jamal Hodge, director and also a Horror Writers Association member.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
He asked for some stories, but we're going to leave.
Nice. Give me stories.
Yes. I've been doing a little press for Even in the Grave. Whole bunch of our friends are in, including Mr. Abbott, including Carol Geisender. No, actually, I'm sorry. Carol Geisender was an editor on that one.
Oh, she didn't. Oh, okay.
Yeah, along with James Chambers.
Yeah. Okay. I bought it. I haven't read it yet.
I gotta pick mine up.
Yes.
Nice.
So, yeah. Cool. And actually, people seem to like my story. They seem to like Mark's story. That's been a nice little something.
What's the name of the story you have in there again?
The Blind Spot.
Ooh, look at your smile.
I read the pre-release and
You did.
And
you were beta reader for me.
Guys, you need to pick this shit up.
I'll check it out.
It did do a turn. I didn't see that shit coming. I was like, I gotta kick my game up.
This is our job, right?
This is our pleasure that we get paid for.
Oh, well, all right. Fair.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
Was that Denise?
I was going to ask Kirk what he's working on.
Oh, yeah.
I'm part of a critique group.
Oh.
So I was working on this space noir.
Oh.
Short story.
All right.
So it takes place, it's in outer space on a pleasure station. It's pretty much like working on it, do some tighten up some character development and trying to figure out where to put it, when to submit it to, because it's not hard, so it's not going to go through that channel. But it's not hard sci-fi. It's not hard sci-fi. So I'm really not going through that channel either. It's almost like a very old pulpy kind of story. So gangsters, space station, mutant aliens, some snappy dialogue. The two characters are these sisters. They're twins. That I got the idea for, if you mind telling you. Got the idea for. There's these two sisters. They're light skinned. They stealth shades. I think it's Breezy and I can't remember the other person. Sister's name, but it's Breezy and something. And they sell shades and one's a DJ. And they did this picture one time where they both had these grills, their gold grills out, and they were like doing this and you know, her sister's there and they're just showing their grills. And it looked so awesome. It was like the fucking, it was tough as fuck.
Oh, wow.
And I really liked the, it for me, it just spoke to that part of me that always thought that Donald Goin novels and all that Black exploitation we used to watch back in the day, that is noir. It's not Black exploitation. It is noir. It is that, because the stories are detective stories. Mm-hmm. Shaft is a detective story.
Yeah.
True. Across 110th Street is a crime drama.
Mm-hmm.
These are all like new noir kind of stories that, that you know, I think a lot of Black folks or Black people don't get that kind of recognition for writing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, that's that Black exploitation story. You know, it's like, it's noir. It's like, it's fucking Sam Spade and Dick Spillane and all that shit.
Yeah.
It's Dashiell Hammett. It's the same genre. It's not different just because there's Black people in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Cotton Comes to Harlem. That's all noir shit. Mm-hmm. So, and they,
that's what you're saying.
For me, embodied kind of like a new noir that we have for the 2000s and the 90s. Like all this gangster shit we talk about in rap is noir.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they aren't, just because they don't run, they aren't bootleggers and straight up like, you know, they're drug dealers doesn't mean it's not. Just because it's drug dealers is something different. It ain't nothing different. It's crime. It's cops and robbers. It's crime. Mm. It's dark. It's noir.
It's definitely dark. Yeah, definitely so, dark.
So, yeah. And so I wanted to like do something with them. Mm. With a little bit of like a little bit of Cowboy Bebop in the mix, like a sense of, and some, you know, Afro-American, for lack of a better term, just like some grit and shit in there. Like these sisters get down. So I wanted to kind of do that.
Interesting.
And then I had an idea today through my, you know, going through my depression, watching Your Man. I was going to call you too, but I was like, you know, I'm going to wait. Your boy, Blackula.
Oh.
Mabo Waldi himself. And I was thinking about it. I was like, you know what? With all this, thanks to the MCU and introducing us to the multiverse, we should have like a multiverse of Mama Waldi. We should have like Blackula in different universes doing his thing. And I was thinking of it as like an anthology of us four, myself, you know, Lieutenant Tapscott, DJ Bloodlust, and Lucius Kincaid.
Lucius.
You know, we write like these, a novella. We write a novelette. Yeah, novelette. So short. Mm-hmm. So not short stories, but not novellas or novels. But just long enough for it's four stories, but it's thick enough because they're novelettes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's our boy Blackula / Mama Waldi, or Mama Waldi, a.k.a. Blackula, but in different universes.
Hmm. Oh.
You know what I mean? So you and we can play. And the thing is, I thought universe is because we can play with our own kind of settings that we want. Mm-hmm. So you can put him, so Denise can put him in Louisiana. It's just a different Louisiana. It's a different world.
Right.
You can put him where you want to, Steve. I was thinking like I put him in my sword and sorcery stuff in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a collection of short stories of Zenobia, and same thing, wholly different universes and different time periods and all that. But she's still in there. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a pretty cool idea. Yeah.
Multiverse of Mumble.
It is a good idea.
The only problem is
the legality aspect.
Yes, the copyright. I was looking at the copyright. I was looking through the copyright. So Blackula is copywritten.
Yeah, of course.
Mama Waldi is not. His name.
That's fair.
I think I want to say that's a loophole. It probably need more research, but that's an interesting loophole.
That is you an don't interesting actually, loophole.
Because remember, Blackula wasn't named Blackula, but by Dracula. But if our character Mama Waldi is set in different places and have shit happen to him, you can actually have him as a vampire or as a werewolf or as anything else.
Okay.
You can have him as a demon hunter. Prince Mama Waldi, the demon hunter.
All right. That's definitely something for us to think about as our listeners literally get to hear our creative process in real time.
Right.
Well, hopefully there'll be plenty of encouragement for us in the comments. Mm-hmm. Maybe right. anybody wants to, you know, act as our lawyer, please feel free. Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. volunteer your services. Right,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I like that idea. It's a pretty cool concept. I like it.
Help a sister
like
and it. A couple of brothers out.
Yeah.
That's pretty. That would like be pretty, 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 pretty dope. Yeah.
So sorry. I thought that was on vibrate. Yes, the ringtone of my cell phone is the Minion.
Okay. The Minion? Right. Okay.
They say, ooh, ha, ha, text message. When I'm at the muggle job, people always know where I am because they hear. Okay. Yeah. Oh, first nice. Of all, what is that noise? I was like, nice. Oh, it's Denise.
That was a mutant triple. Mutant triple. They talk.
It would be fitting. If they anybody now, should have now. A triple, I would say Denise should have a triple.
I have one. It's in storage somewhere.
In storage, you know he's gonna eat all the grain, right?
I know. I gotta figure out where I put him.
That's not good.
In the mortal words of Finn and Poe, they fly now. They fly now.
Do we all finish Strange New Worlds?
Yes. Yes, I finished a while ago.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
I really liked it. I enjoyed it.
You grimy motherfuckers. Y'all couldn't tell a brother that there was a fantasy episode.
You know I'm doctor? Not gonna give spoilers. You know I'm not gonna give spoilers. With the but doctor? I remember watching like he's gonna love this episode.
And you know, I just like to see the look on your face. You know,
yes.
That's basically
yeah.
That mix of pleasure and disgust, that's always fun. That's always fun because it's a good mix.
That was a beautiful episode.
It was so good. Yeah. It was really, really good. Right. Yeah, I was really surprised at the show. Press was like, yeah, I'll get around to it. And finally, when I started watching it, it's like, man, I shouldn't have slept on it. It was such a good show. Yeah. Right. Great writing. Yeah. It had that old school feeling that you don't have to watch every single episode to know what's going to happen, that they all can kind of stand alone.
Right, exactly. And yeah. I think that for me at least was one of the I don't want to say problems, but just like the thing about Discovery. Is like if you watch an episode, if you miss an episode, you're not sure what the hell's going on.
Oh man.
True.
And I like Discovery. The thing is I like Discovery to see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But it's just that one thing. It's like
Or is this different? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. My dad's a huge Star Trek fan, so I'm like, Dad, you gotta watch it. He hasn't watched it yet, but I'm like, dude, you gotta check it out.
Right.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy it. It had a lot of heart in that.
Yeah.
Especially the alien scene, the alien episode. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It had a lot of. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful action.
Yeah. I did like it. Kirk worked my nerves though. Not you.
I was literally about to say Sam Kirk.
Yeah, it's Sam Kirk.
I was just about to ask, how did you guys feel about this brand new Captain Kirk?
I did not like him.
Which
is fine.
No, yeah, because he's supposed to be the brother of James Kirk.
No. Didn't they introduce?
I heard him call him Sam a couple of times during the.
No, that was a different episode.
During the alien episode.
No, there that was Kirk. Sam.
That was Sam during alien, but yeah, there is a James T.
Yes.
But then his brother Sam is there too.
Oh, so you guys talk about Sam.
Yeah. Sam is annoying as fuck.
Sam isn't.
Yeah. Sam has that trucker mustache, that
mustache.
Yeah. And he's like, he did a Bill Paxton. He did a, hey man, come party, a game over, man, game over. Doing that shit. And I was like, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
And you gonna come after Spock? Nigga, don't you know Spock will end you?
Right. He could. Yeah, I like that. I like this Spock.
But that's that ending him for Spock, that's low-hanging fruit. Come on. Let's be serious. I was going to ask about the depiction of James T. Kirk.
Right.
Actually. But I mean I found him to be in a place that made sense. I found him to be the impulsive, even more so because of youth.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, That's absolutely. That same sort of brashness. Mm-hmm. That same sort of what why are we still sitting here? You know, like, you know, like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You
know?
I also have to ask if you guys think that I believe her name is Cecilia Gooding, young lady that's playing young Uhura.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Moving forward, do we think she's going to be feeling any additional pressure to represent now that you know, Michelle has transitioned?
I don't think it's pressure. I think it'll be a point of pride for her that she has stepped into the role of a legend that has passed on. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel she's good at the material they're giving her.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the material they're giving her is awesome.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
realizing, you know, having her broken down, like, oh no, it's not like you don't like making friends. You're good at it. Yeah. You're just afraid of making friends and losing them. And
being mm-hmm. That was so deep.
Oh, that was deep. And that was something that, you know, because a lot of these characters, we never really got there. Like, we never really knew them intimately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We knew them in the action adventure pulp fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, we have a situation going on in this episode. Let's deal with it. And, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
Right. Now we have this thing where now we get some great stuff about Spock and T'Pring.
Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And mm-hmm. and nurse what's her name?
Her name.
I know.
But that's exactly what you're talking about.
But their chemistry is great as well.
Yeah.
And I'm loving the second in command, Romaine Stamos.
Oh yeah, Rebecca.
Romaine Stamos.
Yeah.
At first, I didn't recognize her. Then I was like, oh wait, there she is. Right.
Oh yeah, she actually did a good job of kind of
great job. Yeah, and not realizing that she's a alt human. She's a alt human, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a great piece of lore that they added. That you're like, I appreciated it.
Yeah,
I absolutely appreciated it. So,
mm-hmm.
I dug that.
Nurse Chapel.
Yeah. But back to Stephen's question, I think now the two Uhuras might be at a crossroad, because you also have Zoe Saldana. So, like, which one is actually going to take the helm, or can you have both women fill those shoes, or is someone going to choose the new spokesperson?
I don't know. I feel like Marvel has opened up the door for all kinds of like crazy multiverse at this point, right? Basically, and whether good or bad, you know, I gotta admit, I am pleasantly surprised that movie and TV audiences are comfortable with all of this, because you know, if you're an old nerd like myself, you remember struggling to explain the simplest storylines to non-believers.
Right.
You know, I remember not even so long ago, going to see Watchmen in the movies.
Ah, right. Oh gosh.
Sitting there loving it.
Mm-hmm.
But then walking out of the theater thinking, I don't know if everybody else is gonna get this.
Right.
Even understand the context, or even when I'm talking about it, understand why I loved this movie.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because I think I would not have even understood it had I not actually read the comic. Right. But because I read the whole thing and then I see this movie, I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, and in between that and, you know, I want to say the presentations that take the easy way out. And what I mean by that is, like, Sin City, while I enjoyed watching those movies be acted out, basically, they just took the comics and made it made that the story panel.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if you've read it, like, you know, I'm sure the three of us had, you're sitting there and you're enjoying it for the spectacle, but then there's no surprise. There's no, you know, look around the corner, oh shit moments.
Right.
Because you already know the damn story.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're just waiting to see how they how they how they
put it together,
threw it up.
Same
with 300.
And I didn't read the 300, so I was like, this is amazing. Right. So I was surprised because I hadn't read it.
No offense to you, Denise, yes, but it's kind of like, you know, we're living in a world where our school system is being drained of funds.
Oh, yeah.
To such an extent that, you know, nowadays, you know, there's people out there who don't know that, you know, certain countries exist.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, Europe is not a continent on its own, shit like that.
Right.
Or where the fuck is Oklahoma on a map?
Right. Seriously.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, you're going to get it regardless of people misinterpreting or not able to interpret.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's one of the big differentiations between a fan and a regular moviegoer.
Mm. What do you mean?
You got fans, like Steve was saying, you know, he find it hard to try to explain to somebody the themes of Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ain't a fan of Watchmen, you know, that's the situation you're going to get into. If you're a fan of Watchmen already, it's not going to be
okay. Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the viewer is not intellectual enough to comprehend it. They just have to be in that mind space. And I think also to add to your point, because in schools, like, they're taking away like all the fun stuff. They're taking away drama, they're taking away music. So all of the creative stuff they have to try to find on their own. But instead, you know, they're going to look at cell phones. And so if you're not in the mind, place of mind to receive creative information, then you're not going to get it. Right. You're not going to understand. Right. You're not going to be open to it. Yeah.
That's for real.
Yeah.
And you're already, and to reiterate, Denise, you're born already smart, so it's okay.
Yeah. but if you're not creative, they're not going to absorb like all the fun creative stuff. You're not going to care to live long and prosper. Right.
I don't think Americans, I'm going to even say even in our generation, we're fortunate to have to get involved in the creative aspects of things and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There are people we grew up with that never at all, that weren't taught to even delve into that creative side of them.
Right. Or to like to nurture it. Because we all had to take band. We all had to choose something. Yeah. But then after elementary school, then it's like, okay, you're on your own. And they don't teach you to continue with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally agree with you.
We're just pretty much raising consumers and not artists.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I've had this conversation with my old high school crew. Because I went to Brooklyn Tech.
Which we'll show you when you come by next week.
Yes, that's another thing we'll talk about.
Yes, we should talk about that. But so the thing about Tech is that was an engineering school that I had to pass a test in order to get in, and it was kind of a big deal. But the bigger point of it is that you know, my junior high school teachers were very adamant about me trying to get into something other than my zone school, because my particular zone school, I might have been murdered. So
I can relate.
Yeah. So they made a big. And when I didn't get Stuyvesant, didn't get Bronxides, everybody was kind of like, oh shit. And it didn't help that I hadn't really applied for a whole lot of other stuff, but I got into Tech. So I lived, I was fine. I was good. my smart mouth and lack of other things, I still managed to survive high school. So
nice.
But one thing about it, it was basic. So the curriculum focus was actually engineering.
Wow.
So lots of hardcore math, lots of hardcore science, lots of hardcore stuff. Now, the funny thing is it was still in Brooklyn. So you had classrooms that were held up. You had
what? Held up like gunpoint?
Like literally two guys come in from either side of the room with guns. Hey, run your shit. Like that kind of held up.
Wow. Give me your lunch money. Wow.
There was one named lunch money because dudes had chains.
Oof.
You know? Yeah.
You had the one drug dealer that, you know, went to material science class and you know, getting held up.
He was
up.
A whiz in chemistry.
Go figure.
Right? Of course. He was a
whiz in chemistry.
Go figure. So you had a lot of crazy stuff happen at school and everything. But one thing you didn't have is any sort of guidance if you were not, if you suddenly found yourself not interested in engineering. And that was actually most, like, out of my 8 friends that I'm still in contact with to this day, and some other peripherals here and there, almost no one went into engineering.
Wow. Oh,
like,
wow.
Maybe 3 people.
Wow.
Out of a sea of kids. And what was kind of, you know, telling and messed up about it and everything, because I had it worked up. I was going to be like a serious broadcaster.
Right. Me too.
You know, and you know, that didn't really work out either, but that's that had more to do with the dysfunction of college than with the dysfunction of high school. Because the dysfunction of high school, you're going to these guidance counselors and they have nothing for you.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, is sad. I mean, ultimately I made it, you know, I made things work out, you know.
Yeah, you did.
But, you know, so many other people, you know, it's like you go to this big fancy high school, then you go to college, and then you're doing civil service work, which, you know, I'm not knocking, you know,
I'm not
knocking it.
Right.
But if you had all that schooling,
yeah,
and then you go out in the world and that's all the world is offering you, is something that you could have probably walked away from school at 16 and taken on, and then be that further ahead.
Right.
You know, that's all very disheartening to watch my friends go through, while I go chase various career fantasies and then wind up being a, you know, TV show stage manager, which I'm grateful for, and I'm successful at it, and I'm doing what I'm doing, at least for the time being.
Yeah.
But then no one, except maybe an English teacher or two during those formative years, reached back to me and said, wow, you really like to write. And I didn't even get to focus on that until I was already like established and paying bills and still not feeling fulfilled.
Yeah.
And I feel to some degree what happened to me, you know, and I came out on the lighter side of that, but what happened, that this happens to a lot of people.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Especially.
Yes.
Kids of color.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In particular.
It's
yeah.
I mean, I went to college for fucking law.
Oh, wow.
Paralegal studies.
Real?
Yeah. I went for paralegal studies after high school. Cause I had the idea of being to go into law enforcement.
Oh, wow.
But in school, I was more drawn towards the arts in college.
Yeah.
And research. So, you know, it's like, I took up like existential philosophy and African art. And, you know, I was more geared into that.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking up French. And I moved from Brooklyn College, from New York City Technical School on J Street, to Brooklyn College out in the east, further east. And it was a thing where it was like, and that's how I took film. I took film studies courses and writing courses, because it was at that point it was like, I'm really not into law. Like, I was like, I'm really, it wasn't the thing that got me juiced up. And I worried, I mean, forgive me, Taylor, for putting your business out, my niece, when she was getting ready to go to college, and you know, we were like, oh yeah, what you gonna do? You know, what you gonna do with your life? Blah, blah, blah. She said, I'm going to be a registered nurse. So she went to school as a registered nurse.
Oh, nice.
Which is a beautiful vocation.
Absolutely.
It's hard. My mom was a registered nurse.
Oh, wow.
But I was opposed to it at first. I was, you know, kind of like, yo, but you read all the time. And you read everything, including fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you helped me in the beginning with like some beta reading stuff and some, so she's not artistically inclined.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, getting to know her a little more, it's, she understood that there's no way to make a living doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. When it came down to really just being able to make a living with money, I mean, her life isn't over. She should probably do that later on in her life anyway.
Right. Oh, totally. Right?
I had to figure that shit out later. But at first, I was still thinking to myself, like, oh, man, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that cost of living is a beast out here already, she might have actually done that.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like one of those things, like, you know, sometimes I hate this country. Sometimes I hate this country. My dad was the one who got me into fantasy and fucking Westerns. And he watched all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to take care of a family.
Right.
He had to make money, take care of family. So he worked for Con Edison. As opposed to, he could have been another one who was a writer and a producer. Mm-hmm. He's the one who really got me, me watching movies with him and shit like that. Later on, I want to say, put the empathy, like, drop the seed in without realizing my enjoyment and love for genre fiction without realizing it.
Yeah.
And he was all into it. So it's kind of like, well, what else? Well, you know, you obviously like this shit more than just fucking running cable and shit in a sewer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you're from Trinidad. And that was the worst part. You know, he was from Trinidad. He was a cop in Trinidad.
Oh, wow.
He was a cop in Trinidad. So it was kind of like, you know, you wonder about where people's paths lie and the choices they make. And you have, and I think a part, you know, to really me learning and understanding, you know, where we live is really such a capitalist oriented society that your choices are really predicated on being able to make a living, making ends meet.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
It's, I mean, fuck what you love. Where's my money?
Yeah, but then also a challenge is that's mostly for people of color, because if you were someone that was privileged, then someone's going to know someone or their cousin's best friend. They're going to get you in. Oh, you're going to work in entertainment industry? Well, I'll hook you up with so-and-so at the studio over here and get that ball rolling for you. Oh, you want to write a book? Well, I can connect you with the publishers of such and such. Whereas people of color, we don't
get that kind of...
It's just so low for us compared to others. Yeah. Oh.
You know, and Denise,
which makes us the pioneers, makes us get your stuff out.
You get your stuff out. I mean, you literally brought up what Steve said to me yesterday. Remember Steve talking to me yesterday? Rutgers University?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
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 Like the people he knows coming out of Rutgers University, mostly young white male and female coming out and getting these jobs. Because the funny thing is, I know people in Rutgers, like black teachers and instructors and shit, who can't get a job, who are still there.
Yeah.
At Rutgers University. And I'm like, well, shit, man.
And one of the parts of that conversation, we were just remarking on how many of our producer friends, I'll say, who are not people of color, but they came out of Rutgers. And it's almost like you almost get this image in your mind of this handful of people from Rutgers, like, let's call it back in the 60s or 70s, or I don't know, but they managed to kick that door open and they managed to keep that door open for various Rutgers alum. You know, and like for me personally, I mean, I won. After some doing and some, you know, finagling around, the last half of my college time, I was basically on a full ride because
oh wow
for partly because of academics and partly because I was working for the university. And that being Long Island University. And right. It was a good thing because the reason I didn't go away to school and all this other stuff was because I was very conscious of, not bankrupting my single mom. You know
what I mean?
Right.
That part.
Who on one hand definitely wanted me to go to college, definitely did not want me to go in law enforcement, even though that had, because of neighbors and a few other things, that had come up in conversation. And, nice little lady from Alabama was really stomping her foot. There is no way you are going to be a cop.
Wow.
And that was pretty much the end of that conversation.
She said what she said.
She said what she said. So I end up, and I was halfway geared, chase the broadcasting dream anyway. So, All right, fine. I guess I don't need a gun. I moved forward that way and everything, but while I cherish my college experience in its own way, one thing I can honestly say is LIU was not known for putting out broadcasters. So the advice that I walked away with, because here's the thing, there was a pharmacy department that was like world renowned. The kids that came out of that, they had job offers hitting them in the forehead as they were walking to get their diplomas.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? Because that's what the school was famous for.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice to everyone, because again, I'm like first person in my family to go to college. So I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Yeah.
I was just trying to, keep mom happy, but not bankrupt her.
Right.
So with those two things in mind, that's how my thing played out. But ultimately, my advice to anyone who's trying to get a young person to and through college, and I can't say this enough, the criteria has to be the school has to be renowned for putting out what you want to be. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
It has to be established, from up on high. Kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. That's where recruiters are going to go to get their people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I want to say that applies for everything. That applies for medicine. Mm-hmm. I want to say that applies for basketball. But the thing is, if you're going into college just to go through the motions, you are not going to make it. Once you get
right.
out,
that's true.
It's not
going
to work out. It is not. It's going to be a struggle every day. Every day.
Right.
So,
yeah. Yeah, I went to San Francisco State and my mom was like, you have to get a real job, get a degree to be a lawyer or a doctor. Oh, wow. And I was going to get a theater degree.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stumbled across the broadcasting department, and San Francisco State is huge with their broadcasting department. A lot of their news stations have a lot of people from San Francisco State and radio. Okay. And that's actually how I got into radio, from going to San Francisco State University.
Nice.
Yeah, I have a degree in TV radio broadcasting. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Sunshine station. The phone girl on KSOL. Wild
no Woman. Shit.
I was. I didn't tell you
Sunshine?
That yet.
No.
That's the story for another day.
You did not
Sunshine
tell us
the phone girl.
That because I would have already had samples on the show.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
yes. You're going to have to look for that.
We'll have to get the research department on it.
So Lieutenant Sunshine.
Live long and prosper.
Hello, Lieutenant Sunshine.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Oh my stars.
Yeah,
Lieutenant Sunshine. What the fuck are they saying?
Right.
Well, actually, on line two, we have.
Nice.
Oh my goodness. Speaking of sunshine. Okay.
Oh.
I am coming to New York City, ladies and gentlemen.
That's
right. Hang out with these fine gentlemen. What is the weather going to be like? What do I need to pack? Because sunshine is coming.
I don't know what to say to that.
I know it's early.
I'm looking right now.
Well, whatever they've got posted, it's probably not right. So, I mean, it's freaking Sunday. So,
right.
Yeah, they said.
Yes, very, I'm very coming wrong. To New York. I can hardly wait. I'm so this excited.
Look for 85 to 90s.
85 to 90s.
Okay. Yeah. Raining Friday, Saturday, Sunday. When you coming in?
I come in Friday. And I leave Monday.
Pack an umbrella just in case.
Pack an umbrella?
What? Just in case. It says 60% rain.
I mean, you can, but truthfully, we have umbrellas.
I'm like, California, we don't have rain, so I don't even know what umbrella is. That sounds like, well, what is that?
You know, as soon as you get off the plane, there should be some dude selling umbrellas for $5.
Oh, there probably will. There probably will be. His name will be Mahmood.
Yes. Or Akeem. One of those two.
Mm-hmm. Rain.
Wow.
And then he's probably going to hit on you because he probably wants to marry you for citizenship purposes.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. No, thank you.
so then there'll be that.
Get ready for the food.
Excited. Okay, I'm ready.
And the drinks.
Yes. Sir, yes, sir. Yes,
we're going to take, where are we going to take it first?
Okay. So Friday night, I actually have to prep for little bit of work. Actually, we all do. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like,
right.
You know,
right.
So Friday is going to be quick and dirty. And all right, I know we're being clandestine here, but one of the reasons that Denise is coming is because we're actually shooting something that we're all, basically. it's a little short zombie thing that I wrote, that Mark Abbott's going to direct. Mm-hmm. Kurt Johnson's going to light, and Denise will also be playing, she'll be playing a judge.
Yes.
And that is basically where we're going to leave that until it's all nice and shot and edited. We may release a photo of me in a sort of a
There may be photos.
Gentlemen, but ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear something you never heard before.
That's true.
I will say that. I ain't going to say that. That's
very true.
Yeah.
You're going to hear something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then, you know, you have to feed me food. Yes.
After the shoot.
Food. After the shoot, you are definitely getting fed.
Yes. Yay.
Low budget meal like pizzas and.
That's what I want.
Well,
New York. Oh, we got to take it to that place. We went down on DeKalb,
among other things.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Sunday after we're done shooting, and Sunday becomes Entertain Denise Day.
Yay.
And when do you leave? So
Monday, 7:45. Yeah.
That's perfect.
Saturday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So work some shenanigans, full shenanigans.
Yes.
Pour her back into the plane and off she goes.
Yay.
It's good stuff.
You guys are awesome. I can hardly wait.
All right.
Yay. Oh.
And how are we for time wise?
I'll tell you right now.
He said, I'll tell you right now.
It might be time to. Oh, no.
Nice.
Look at that.
Huh.
Surprise, surprise.
We've got a whole 7 minutes.
Which is rare for us.
I know. That's why we need Mark. Because, you know, even though, so the funny thing is, Mark, of course, will lay back in the cut in the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, him and Kirk get into, like, you know.
What? Yes.
You have to admit, it's usually you and him having some sort of disagreement.
Yes. And he gets a look on his face like.
And once y'all, get guy, your 8 mile shit.
Yeah.
which happens once every 3 episodes. People don't even remember 8 mile happened. And you two.
That's right. That's right.
That was like our first.
That was the first.
The first.
No.
And that's and honestly, when that first happened, that's when I was like, yeah, I'm a genius. Because I'm the one to put the two of you in the room together. So
clearly,
this is my home run.
Yes.
That was,
Oh my God.
Miss you, Mark, man. Come back. Yes, hurry back.
Very much. Joss was on the other day.
Speaking of education, Mark Abbott. Mm-hmm. Working out his master of fine arts.
Yes.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yes. Yes. And we definitely support and encourage that in every way possible.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah. You ain't old enough. You know, you can keep doing it no matter how old you are.
That's right.
Don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Let's go. Always go for your dreams. Always, always. Always.
Because this world will try to crumble your shit a day.
Yep. But if you find your tribe will help you through. Your tribe will help you through.
Yeah, even if it's only like 4 people.
That's all it takes. That's all you need.
Okay.
Because I say that 3 or 4 of your closest people are a reflection of who you are. Yeah,
really?
Man. Yeah. Oh. You haven't heard that? Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up in a kind of like lone wolf type situation. So.
So then you're your own best friend.
It's like, yeah. It's like me and my sister. It's me and my sister. So.
Yeah, it's me and my sister. She's definitely my best friend. She's mermaid. Yeah. And yes, I have you guys.
Yes,
you guys.
I just saw that mermaid outfit.
Yes. Yes.
And respectfully, woo, hubba hubba.
My sister, she's smoking hot. Yeah. And she loves, and she's living her best life. She really is.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. Check out my Facebook page. You'll see her on there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes, you will.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, we, you know what? Not for nothing. We should have a siblings day, even though I don't have a sibling. My sibling situation is complicated, but you guys, of course, can bring your siblings in. Mark has a brother.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We'll be your siblings. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, technically.
We're your siblings.
Basically. But I mean, you know, just bringing in... you know, your sister, Mark's brother. That might be a fun little thing to do one of these days.
That'll be fun.
Oh, that'd be nice, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Sure, they got Zoom.
Yeah. So.
She got 2 jobs. She can do it.
Exactly.
I have 2 purple chairs. So I could bring my sister in.
Nice.
I do. Yeah, because... this chair I'm sitting in, I love it so much, and I don't want people to touch it. It's like Zenobia's throne. Like,
exactly.
So I have a duplicate one so people can sit in it. I'm like, okay, you spill something on it, that's fine, because it's not the real one.
Right.
Kind of like Marie Laveau's grave. She has 2 graves.
Really? Why?
Yes. Well, there's one theory that's actually her and her daughter, but there's another theory that she has an official one, and the second one was kind of put together like by the locals. And so if you want like spill work and stuff done, you don't go to the fancy one by her family. You actually go to one like down and around in the cemetery where you mark the X's and make a wish and et cetera, et cetera.
Oh.
Yeah. The locals will tell you she has 2 graves.
That's great folks.
When they're all above ground, not right. Below ground. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I heard the second explanation before. I never heard the first one. So that's fascinating. Mm-hmm.
Mausoleum. She has a mausoleum. No.
Well, not a mausoleum, because that's like a whole big, huge structure.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Like all their things are above ground.
Above ground, okay.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time to take a trip down to New Orleans.
Oh, I miss that place so much. People think I'm from there. I love it so much. I love New Orleans.
I thought you were from New Orleans, actually.
Everyone thinks I'm from New Orleans. I'm from San Francisco.
When I read your stuff, I see them thinking you're from New Orleans. Most
definitely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I talk about New Orleans all the time. How flirtily ring. Check it out.
Yes.
The I don't have any tattoos, but if I did, I would probably have a Fleur de Lis tattoo.
You don't have any tattoos?
I don't. Because it's so permanent. I couldn't figure out what I wanted.
I see.
Someday I will get one. Someday.
Someday.
Incredible. Not when I'm in New York.
You don't have any either, at least none that I'm aware of.
I've been, as soon as I get my waist down to a attractive size, with some abs, and then I'll get like a wild boar tattooed on the back.
Ooh.
So I'll rock. That's what I always wanted to rock, because born in the year of the boar, and I like the idea of like bristly and scary looking and shit. Then you realize, oh, he's fucking Wilbur from Charlotte's Web. He's just Wilbur from Charlotte's Web.
Wow.
But he looks so mean. Oh, no, he's a sweetheart.
But don't cross him.
Right. You know, yeah. But you do, though.
I have 5.
Wow. Which is your favorite?
My favorite is probably my tribute tattoo to my deceased friend, Mark C. Hall.
Oh, wow.
He was a diehard, like, just, and I was funny because I was telling somebody this, but he was just, as far as sports fan goes, he was like through the roof with it. Okay. He was one of those guys that knew like people's batting averages from 1978 and all that stuff. Like stuff that I can't do because I'm too busy with horror and science fiction. But we had such a good time together over the years, like between working at MTV and then just going out after the shoots and getting annihilated. But you know, so he was such a big Jackie Robinson fan.
Oh,
that the tattoo that's on my back is actually a bat carrying the number 42.
Nice.
Horror guy. So in carrying the 42, it's like I'm still carrying.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
That is nice.
Wow. Very cool.
That's my favorite. And it's also the biggest. And it also hurt quite a bit because part of it's happening on my spine.
Oof.
Yeah, I heard stories.
Yeah.
I heard that's the one that, yeah.
So on that cheerful note, we're going to end this episode of Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans. We're going to close Hailing Frequencies for now, but we will be back soon.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. God bless you all. Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper.
We still on?
Yes, hit the other button.